Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Coke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Because we off the cuff right now. You big?
What's up? It's your boy, Lil Yaka, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hoit me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks Podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world of hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, y'all. This is Stacey Lachey, giving a shout-out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Bad air.
It's GI Jizzle, let's get it.
Let's get it.
Dirt bags. Yeah.
Be down and chill up with hand in
the chair. I be on the money like a motherfucker. Barcode. I be out here getting it. I should have been on Narco. I can count the money with my motherfucking eyes closed. Just saved the money and I didn't switch to Geico. I be on the money like a motherfucking barcode. I be out here getting it. I should have been on Narco. I can count the money with my motherfucking eyes closed. Just saved the money and I didn't switch to Geico. Stacking, making plays and maneuvers. Handling the package like removers. And I pay a forward to the shooters. I ain't even gotta get a word there, do you? First class down in Houston, dirt bags down with boots. I'ma make this shit happen, no excuses. Put the whole team in position with the music. Have my little son on this for his schooling. Not a jury getting foolish, pulling up in something stupid. Plowing, but I'm ready to do it. You know what that rap about when I bring the steppers out. Ask EPC, everything checking out. I be on the money like a motherfucker. Barcode. I be out here getting it, I should have been on Narco. I can count the money with my motherfucking eyes closed. Just saved the money and I didn't switch to Geico. I be on the money like a motherfucking barcode. I be out here getting it, I should have been on Narco. I can count the money with my motherfucking eyes closed. Just saved the money and I didn't switch to Geico.
Jump out money and it's bigger than his music. Been dumping packs to my down in Houston. Whole lot of money talking. Money machine, keep losing. Chip in the back, count 20s and she naked. 40 on her side and she ready. I should have been a star on that narco. Cause if real got a dollar bill, I'm the barcode. Just switch like Geico. Need a lifo. Ran out of money and he couldn't afford a rifle. All blue, yeah, my shoes blue too. Saved all the money, tears and the five too.
I be on the money like a motherfucker. Barcode. I be out here getting it, I should have been on Narco. I can count the money with my motherfucking eyes closed. Just saved the money and I didn't switch to Geico. I be on the money like a motherfucking barcode. I be out here getting it, I should have been on Narco. I can count the money with my motherfucking eyes closed. Just saved the money and I didn't switch to Geico.
Yeah, I'm finna hit the booth with my pen and my pad. And freak a nigga B with my style and my swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag. So you can catch the tag in, you can take the swag. You can take the tag in, you can take the swag. You can take the tag in, you can take the swag. You can take the tag in, you can take the swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag, bitch. All black belly, bitch, that smelly shit. Black truck, limo 10, why get a telly, bitch? 4-5, heavy shit, cock back, ready, bitch. Kanye swag, money right, can't tell me shit. Fresh trail, retros made me feel special. Pills had me bouncing off the walls like Edo. Shot from my head to my feet, stay fresh, ho. You know I get that work and bang it fast like techno. Never tell no fairy tales, streets I know them very well. Bust my shit down, so I'm profiting off every sale. Real gritter, 1000% real nigga. Boost phone, crack coke, bro, get it in, nigga. All my cars real fast, hustle real hard till ain't shit in my bag. And I keep a bitch that'll give me her last. Now my mind on my music, got my city on smash. So I'm finna hit the roof with my pen and my pad. And freaking nigga B with my style and my swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag. So you can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag, bitch. I'm a bad bitch, shiner ass gold teeth. Two things I hate, broke bitches and police. All I wanna do is stack dough and stay low key. But if you ask around, a lot of real niggas know me. Not for bossy shit, staying on some bossy shit. Downtown doing the Mac Dre up in August, bitch. Real niggas, some Ridge Road from 6-0. All well, Lords and Moes, a couple real foes. Blood gang, PD foes, they getting real dope. No, I'm 7-4 and a poppy before you get close. You know, that's fucked up, but it's real though. Some niggas think they serious and they a big joke. Yeah, I'm all about cash. They say the strong survive, so I know I'm gon' last. Hell good and stay fresh, so you know I get ass. And they say the boy go the hardest on the track. So I'm gonna hit the booth with my pen and my pad. And freaking nigga B with my style and my swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag. So you can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag, bitch.
What up? Know what it is, nigga. G.I. Jizzle, nigga. The Minneapolis nigga, to the motherfucking shot nigga, the GI nigga, to the Ben nigga, niggas know what it is, nigga. Smoke, what up? Smith Town, what up? Yeah, Rush City, what up?
I'm finna hit the booth with my pen and my pad. And freaking nigga B with my style and my swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag. So you can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. You can check the tag in, you can check the swag. I'm all about my cash and I am a dirtbag, bitch.
Ah, hello.
Fuck.
One more time.
Nigga, make me a sandwich. Make it quick, man. Goddamn, it's cold in a motherfucker out here.
Why you motherfucker walk past here?
We report live from the strip club. Every strip club in the United States. Of wholeness. You better tip her. Chisel it out. I see you, Momo. A party ain't a party if the homie Smoke ain't in it. We riding out. Let's go.
I had a temper. I had a temper.
I'm tipping the bitch. Stay on my grit, so I'm tipping the bitch. Smoking, I drink, so I'm letting this bitch. You claiming you hustle, you get it in. So you can't be stingy with the dividends. When the cabaret is what you chilling in. Shit, I'm tipping her, and I'ma tip a friend. Tip the bartender, go back and tip again. I had fell off, but I'm on my shit again. I don't come out kicking the penny pins. All these bitches on me feel like
I dip a can. If you broke, nigga, get your bag up. She gon' probably tell your ass bag up. Put your drinks down, put the cash up. What you think she's shaking all that ass for? You ain't throwing money, must be something wrong. I done hustle on all this Parmesan. Pop a rubber band, that's a comma gone. Big body outside, now ride along. I ain't Ice Cube, but you can ride along. Generosity gon' get her. When Inferno plays this, sir, you tip her.
Show on the weekends, including Friday nights, especially Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, sponsored by Dirty Basement, sponsored by Jesse's Boutique, and we have a live show going on tonight. Exclusive show, as a matter of fact. First of all, I want to send a shout out to my co-host in spirit, T-Max with the Facts, LR the Sandman, Miss Chinchilla, and everybody that supports this show from the ground up. So, with tonight's guest, he's been on the show before. We got a great follow-up on what he's been doing lately. He's been putting it down. He's been hitting the grind heavy. One of our most solid guests that we've ever had. And big shout-out to Fleetwood for making this reconnection happen. So, without further ado, let's bring on my man, G.I. Gizzle, y'all.
G.I. Jizzle, man. What's happening? What's happening? Appreciate you for having me.
What's happening with you, brother?
Not much, man. It's my birthday, man. Just enjoying the day with my family and, you know what I mean, being grateful for the blessings and the progress.
Most definitely, man. Happy birthday to you, courtesy of Off the Cuff Radio, brother. You got to send a couple bombs that way.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Definitely, man. It's a pleasure for you to join us this evening. We know you're a busy guy. It's been a lot going on since you the last time you've been on the show. So tell us, man, what's been happening with you?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't even know where to start, man. I think, when was our interview, man? That was like a year ago, wasn't it?
Like last year.
Over a year ago. Yeah, like it was a while ago. I think I just dropped Tip Her, man. So it's been over a year. I didn't, man, I done collab with Boosty. Shout out to OG, man. I done collab with Sauce Walker. You know what I mean? I done campaigned real big in Houston, man. I done connected with J. Prince Jr. You know what I mean? I just been getting my contacts up, man. Just been doing real solid footwork and building sturdy bridges.
Now, you got the new single out that we just played with Boosie. And how's the public has responded to that so far?
Man, it's doing real good, man. It's over 6 figures on YouTube on the view side. It's my most viewed video thus far. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've been getting a lot of good feedback, man. A lot of people in my town is really feeling the record. And, you know, all over, like, people really recognizing me now. You know what I mean? I got Boosie to put a couple posts on his IG and help me promote it. And, of course, that helped. And, you know, it's just gratifying because people are actually recognizing what I'm doing, man. They really loving the Dirtbag movie.
Now, do you care to explain how that connection with Boosie even happened? Because when I first heard the record, I could tell you guys have a great chemistry.
Well, yeah, I mean, shout out to the OG ETCO, man, out there in Houston, man. It started with all the way back last year, man. I went out to Memphis and I played with Kingpin Skinny Pimp, and he was helping me do some promo. He put a little tour together for us last year, and off of that, that turned into me meeting ETCO in Houston. And when I met, he Boosie childhood friend. He's also very close friends with J. Prince Sr. And, you know what I mean, he doing this promotional thing, and he just really feeling what I was doing, and one thing led to another. I think my first time going to Houston was New Year's, and within me being there 4 hours, I was already on FaceTime with Boosie, setting up the song and the single.
That's what's up, man, because you guys have a great chemistry on record, and who knows, man, y'all might have an EP in the works.
Man, absolutely, man, absolutely, man. You know, I look up to Boosie. I was been listening to his music since forever, and it got me through so much, you know what I mean? And I respect his hustle, and I respect his story. And, you know what I mean, I had the chance to actually hang out with him. I rode to one of his shows with him in Corpus Christi, Texas. And, you know, I was able to be around him and soak up a lot of games. So that was special to me because, you know, it's hard to get in them type of environments.
Well, one thing that's impressed me about Boosie is how he's used technology to pretty much reinvent himself into a new generation of band. Because it's hard when you're coming out from a bid, and it's easy to get lost in the sauce. And he found a way through Instagram to really get himself popping out there.
Absolutely, man. I'm like a sponge. I've been soaking it all up, man. That man is a genius when it comes to the hustle. Like, he ain't let this corona stop nothing. I commend him for that. It's motivational.
Great, like that. Now, a lot has changed since last year. As a matter of fact, even with us, we done picked up a couple endorsements. We got more out there than we were before. So since we're pretty much starting from scratch and reintroducing ourselves to new audiences and stuff, do you care to tell people a brief story about how your come up was?
I mean, it was just perseverance, man. It was hard when I first started doing music. Of course, I didn't understand nothing about the game, and me being from the Midwest, I was born in Gary, Indiana, and I reside in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been back and forth pretty much my whole life, and it's not really no environment for music. You're not going to, like, you know, Houston got rap a lot, you know what I mean, and just deep roots, so you get to different regions and different areas when it pertains particularly to hip-hop, you know what I mean? Like, people got more outlets. So when I first got into it, I loved it so much, and I always felt I was talented enough to be a good artist, but I had to realize that, you know, I had to be a good businessman, and that was more important than, you know, the talent. Talent is good, but, you know, the business is what's going to get you paid and get you taken care of. So, you know what I mean? I had to go through a lot, learning and bumping my head and making bad investments. Keep in mind, I'm independent too, so, you know what I mean? I got to do a lot on my own. It's 10 times harder because I don't have a big machine around me that, you know, I can delegate tasks to and make sure stuff is taken care of. So it's just, you know, a lot of perseverance, man, believing in yourself and being willing to invest in yourself and, you know, not being scared of hearing the word no or getting the door slammed in your face and just being able to keep pushing, man, staying consistent and staying hungry, I mean, and putting the right people around you to put yourself in the best position for success.
And also, coming from the Midwest, do you catch a bit of a stigma when you first started approaching the game? Because for some reason in hip-hop, it's like when you come from different regions, it's like a lot tougher.
Absolutely. I mean, I still deal with it now, you know what I mean? People around, especially in my town of Minnesota, it's a lot of talented people that ain't nobody really connected. Ain't nobody really put no hit out up here or really put Minnesota on the map. So, at least in hip hop, in the major world, you know what I mean? There's people out here working, people out here just making money. But, you know what I mean? It's 10 times harder for us because we don't have no outlets. We ain't got, you know what I mean? Nobody really coming reaching for us for the quarantine, like. The artists come out here, they come get their money, and they get up out of here. They wasn't really working with nobody or trying to throw nobody no bone, you know what I mean, help the situation. So, you know, the stigma of just forever being local, you know what I mean? Like, I deal with that all the time. But, you know, of course, now people starting to see, man, that grind. Like, I feel like if you can't take your show on the road, it really ain't no show.
Now, speaking of the experiences and, you know, being as a part of this game as well from an interviewer standpoint, it seems like when you're standing next to somebody that's popping is where those same ears or those same eyes all of a sudden want to look at you again. Because you can tell that when, like, if you've done a song with Bootsy, and before then nobody was really checking, but as soon as you do the song with Bootsy, they looking at you like, oh, this that dude right here, he might got something popping.
Yeah. I mean, you got to honor certain stuff. I mean, and that's part of, you know what I mean, making the right investment and doing stuff at the right time, you know what I mean? It just so happened that we had already got this business and shot the video and all that stuff out of the way before the quarantine really hit, you know what I mean? Like, we wasn't really, like, the coronavirus wasn't no thing back then when we did the song, so for me to have all of that done and be able to release it now when everybody at home and more people are paying attention, and you know what I mean? It was a big moment for me, man. I'm trying to capitalize off this momentum.
And your style is, like, very versatile. Like, who are your main influences in, you know, finally incorporating your style?
My biggest influence is Tupac, of course. You know what I mean? I just like having a story to tell, leaving, you know what I mean, having substance. I always respected Pac because he could get me through any mood that I was in. Any way I was feeling, he had a song for it. You know what I mean? He had some game to give me. He helped me get through situations. And that was the first real hip-hop artist that I idolized. And then it kind of you know what I mean, trickled down onto the other music that I like. Now, that was kind of like the standard. Like, you got to be talking about something. You got to be, you got to have substance. You got to be, it got to be real. You know what I mean? It got to resonate with me. So that's what I want to give my listeners and the people that mess with my music. I want them to, you know what I mean, get something real from it.
Hey, you know what's funny that you bring up Tupac, because we're approaching his birthday coming up next month. Now, what was the song that hit, that resonates you the most out of that, that made you be like, yo, this is the one of the realest to ever touch that microphone?
Man, he got so many. But if I was to say one song, it would be Hail Mary. Hail Mary, man. That was the first song that I heard and just played and kept repeating, and my mom didn't want me to have a CD. Her boyfriend dubbed in and snuck it to me. You know what I mean? So I used to play it all the time, man. And that's when, you know, I realized that I had a real love for hip hop. My dad played in the band since before I was born, so I was already, music was in my genes already. But I knew hip hop was the thing when I heard that Machiavelli album. It was over with for me.
And not to mention that with Pac, that he was one of the first artists that wasn't afraid to bare his soul, because keep in mind, when we start listening to hip hop, everybody was extra macho. He was one of the first to really put it out and be like, okay, I can show vulnerability.
Yeah, and make people respect it.
And without it being soft, because keep in mind, even though if back in the 90s, if you show any type of sensitivity, they looked at you as a cornball. Like, you remember how PM Dawn, they were treated like suckers.
Definitely.
But Pac, he came through, he showed a way that you could be vulnerable without losing your backbone. That's what made it so impressive with his music.
Absolutely. But Pac was so versatile, man. He'll, you know, tear your head off one day and rock you to sleep the next day. You know what I mean? You never know.
Yeah, because if anybody that listens to How Do You Want It, he was even throwing shots at politicians, but yet making you party.
That's exactly.
That talent, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, man. Pac, that's always forever going to be the GOAT to me.
Straight up, man. Now, as you build your craft and everything, and one thing I did notice too as well is stage performances. Now, do you care to tell the masses how important it is to command that stage and be a live performer?
Definitely, man, because people want that vibe, man. If you ain't no vibe, you can't come control the crowd. If you can't bring that feeling, that energy, there's no point in you getting up there. No point in you getting up there. You ain't gonna move nothing. You ain't gonna make people feel you. You ain't gonna be a vibe, man. People want to feel it. You know what I mean? People don't want to just hear it. They want to feel it, man. So, you know, it's a package deal, man. People don't want to just see you. They want to feel you. They want to move. It's a package deal. Very important, man, for your stage presence and controlling the crowd and getting people into it.
Man, let me tell you, man, because the show money is where it's at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
If you can't master that stage, man, I'm like, there's no really no good of really pursuing that, because that's where the real bread and butter is.
Exactly.
Like, you can't turn down 50 G's a show because you got stage fright. Like, you better drink something, ante up.
Man. And go turn up on them.
You ain't lying. Anybody
yeah,
you can pass up 60K because the nigga got stage fright.
Yeah, man. You really don't want no money, man. You don't want no money.
True. I don't care how it's going to work to the hindsight. You better go out there and make it do what it do.
Absolutely, man. That's like one of my favorite aspects of the game, man, is getting on that stage and rocking it, man. And when you see people in the crowd really rocking with you, like, you know, people get lost in it, man. It's almost like a trance-like state, man, when they really feeling you and they just rocking with you, man. It's, the feeling is unexplainable, for real.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to give our audience a game on that because people get very content on internet fame. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can go live, like you can do your numbers off YouTube and Spotify and all that, but you're not really seeing the half of that when you go out there, because then you got to put your merchandise out there. Like, the people got to be able to touch you.
Yeah, man, they definitely want to, they're going to dissect everything about you.
That's for real, man. Now, there's another thing that happened, too, and I looked at one of your videos the other day, that you did a performance for Floyd Mayweather. How did that happen?
Man, shout out to OG Kingpin Skinny Pimp, man, when I went out there last year in May. Actually, it was on my birthday. Actually, exactly a year ago today, I went out to Memphis, and he lined up. Floyd had an event out there, a fighting event, and they booked him for a party afterwards. And, you know, I got a little slot on the show, man, and I went in there, and ain't nobody know who I was. They threw me on first. They had me perform first. It was right when Floyd got there. Everybody's trying to get a look at him. Like, wasn't nobody paying attention to no DJ, no nothing. They was all trying to look at Floyd, and they was like, all right, Jizzle, go ahead. And shit, I went on there, and I just, you know what I mean, I got my mold, man. I did my thing, and it got so... You know, the people started paying attention to the point where I actually caught Floyd's attention. He was on a higher level than where I was. He was on the ground level. He was on like a balcony level of some stairs, and most of the people had crowded up trying to get up the stairs to see him. Then I performed. He came to the little where he could oversee where I was at, and he got the signaling me to come up there by where his VIP booth was. So once he finally got my attention, I went up there. He was like, man, start that shit over. We all want to hear that. Motherfucking DJ ran it back, and it was just an epic moment, man. I'm glad my cameraman was there to capture it, man. That's on YouTube. You know what I mean? And it was an epic moment, man, because he was selling it.
Man, that's legendary right there, because there's very few people that can really get up there and rock with Floyd Mayweather. That's a nigga.
Yeah, man.
Talk
about butterflies, my nigga. I'm talking about, like, I had to shake them off quick. You know what I mean? I had to shake them off quick, but they was definitely there, man. You got a billionaire literally 4 feet away from you. Like, do your shit. You know what I mean? And, hey, it caught me off guard, but, you know, I shook it off, man. I had a huge impact. You know what I mean? And it's still a big moment in my career for me, man.
For real, man. And I mean, for the champ to be able to give you a cosign like that, man, that could take you up to the stratospheres. But you know what's dope about your grind is that even though you get the big cosigns, you never stop. Because people usually, when they get cosigns, they become very complacent. And they be like, okay, that's going to take me over.
Nah. You can't think like that, man. You got that's part of keeping going, man. Like, you know, I can't get content, even though I've accomplished more now than I've ever imagined I would accomplish, especially in this amount of time. I still can't get content because, you know, I'm shooting for the stars, you know what I mean? And it ain't just about no moment for me. It's about the longevity. It's about, you know what I mean, my kids. It's about, I'm trying to secure their futures and create opportunities for my people and all of that. And it's like, even though I might be straight, I might be comfortable, my work ain't nowhere near done. I feel like I'm just getting started. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's one thing I tell people, because, see, when they go ahead and they get on a major label, they usually think that's the end of the finish line, when in reality, that's where, if anything, the problem really starts. It really starts there. It really starts there, and you gotta really, like, you gotta build the brand up. You gotta hit the campaign trail. You gotta pull the Barack Obama and shake hands and kiss babies. You got to press the records up. You got to make sure all... It's a lot goes on with this business that a lot of people don't know.
Man, I be trying to tell them, man. People be trying to give me advice like, yo, I have no idea. The ins and outs.
Especially Double as an independent. Has you ever considered going to a major, or you consider the independent the best route for now?
I mean, of course I want to stay independent. I want to be my own boss. I want to call the shots, you know what I mean? I'm open to, like, a partnership deal or something like that, like distribution, you know what I mean, something where I'm still in control of my situation, you know what I mean? But who knows? Like, it's a couple people that I wouldn't mind working with, and if the right deal was put together, it could be at least a conversation, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's 1,000 Entertainment, man, Dirtbags. I'm really trying to just, you know, push it myself.
Most definitely, man. I mean, sometimes that's the way to go, because you can learn more through trial and error versus with the major. They could just hold your hand, but at the same time, they not tell you all the information that you need to know.
Exactly. And they control your destiny. Like, you can't move unless they say something. I ain't with that.
Now, are you a fan of how the game has, you know, pretty much went from distributing from CDs to streaming?
I mean, I really don't feel no type of way. I mean, it is what it is. That shit, the world gonna keep evolving. We gotta adapt and adjust. You know what I mean? I feel like, of course, it's easier to get music out there. Get your shit heard, but at the same time, I love the footwork. I love the groundwork. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't selling CDs, but I got a trunk full of T-shirts. You know what I mean? I'm going to still figure out how to get out here and touch hands with my people some way.
Yeah, the groundwork is, at the end of the day, that's where you know for sure that your product is top-notch. When you start when you start seeing people from the ground zero flocking to your work, that's when you know you have authentic movement. Because I feel right now with the way things are, it's like they're trying to cook up stars instead of making them from the ground up.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. It's like the microwave. That's why, you know what I mean, I had somebody tell me that I should do, like, you know, what the young people are doing, like the more trendy, get on TikTok and make dance moves and all of that. And it's like, I'd much rather do the real footwork, the real groundwork, because that's what's going to last. You can easily have a moment, you know what I mean? Just like with the whole 6ix9ine situation. Like, he came home, he dropped the track, he broke the internet, he set all these records. I'm like, yeah, he having a moment, but he got to keep going, you know what I mean? It's about longevity and sure as shit stank. All of a sudden, shit start happening where nobody even thinking about that moment no more. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want my career to be like that. I want people to be like, he really put the groundwork in. He really grinded and hustled. He really got out there and got on his feet and went to them states and them venues and, you know what I mean, versus just sitting and clicking buttons. You know what I mean? Like, that's only going to last so long. And a lot of people start fucking with me and fucking with the Dirtbags because of the grind, not from the music. You know what I mean? A lot of people was like, I ain't even heard one song. I just like how you hustle. I like your energy. I like your vibe. I like how you move. That's what means something to me.
And what people got to realize too, bro, is that the clown antics can only get you so far. I mean, with just like you mentioned with, I say Teriyaki. I don't say Tekashi because, you know, we ain't trying to, you know, give that promo. but the way we look at it with that is like, yeah, for the moment, he has a lot of followers. He's doing a lot of streaming numbers, but look at who he's making mad. Like, you, right now he's got this deal going on with Snoop Dogg. That's going to make it hard for him to go out west and make money.
Yeah, he got to come out that house eventually. You got to come outside. Shit. And that's when we're going to see what's what. them Instagram lives and all, that's cute. But when you come outside, that's when we're going to see what's really what. Because the whole world is waiting on you.
And he done made all these guys mad. Like, everywhere he went on tour last year, he done made them mad, made people in Texas mad. He made people in L.A. mad, his own city. Like,
yeah,
you got a tour eventually.
Definitely. Definitely. Not to mention them families of all the people that you told on and got locked up. Man, you get what you put out there. Plain and simple, that's the easiest way I can put it. You're going to get exactly what you put out there. And the shit he putting out there is what he getting back.
And not to mention you probably proclaiming yourself as a rat, which is pretty much like the lowest of the totem pole in hip-hop. Anybody with form of credibility is going to really rock with him.
No. And it's just, you know, the kids, they don't know no better. They just, like, the one thing I got to give Little Buddy is he's entertaining. You know what I mean? The entertaining
oh, yeah.
the motherfucker, what he stands for, like, that's what's carrying him right now. He got some marketing geniuses around him, and he's very entertaining. But the way he's setting himself up for failure, though, and history's going to keep repeating itself. You're not going to, you can't live no fruitful life like that. For real. He should have came home and got a lot more quieter. He came home doing the same shit. I'm like, damn, you gonna tell and still troll? That's crazy.
And after a while, eventually somebody else is gonna come along and do the same thing he did, and he's gonna be forgotten.
He making it seem like it's okay though. You know what I mean? Like that's. This is what the new generation is going to feel like. They can violate like this and still pop. Like, they can still be busting, and you can do some of the lowest shit that you can ever do. Like, that shit ain't right. But I feel like motherfucking time going to keep progressing and shit going to keep happening. And, you know, all this, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. He's not going to last long.
Because, you know, that's just basically how the world revolves, man. I mean, it's... You know how a lot of the styles from the 90s, they end up coming back. Like, everybody's rocking the baggy jeans again. Everybody's rocking the kid and play tops. When that was played out back then.
Yeah.
So, slowly but surely, do you think that eventually real music is going to matter again, like when it comes to putting your mind, body, and soul out there to the masses?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I feel like it's still people out here that hold it down for the culture, man, and really, you know, keep shit 1,000, man, and you know, like the essence of hip hop, man, like I feel like Boosie, I feel like Jadakiss, Fab, you know what I mean? E-40, you know what I mean? It's a few of them, man, and still that's still really holding it down, man. It ain't really, you know, trying to flip the script and do what the new motherfuckers is doing, man. You know, and that shit keep me motivated too, because if this shit got that watered down, I'd be doing something else in my life. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know what I mean? But it's the people that's still holding it down for, you know what I mean, like that era that we came from to, you know, keep me motivated.
Especially 40 Water, man. Like, that dude be dropping like triple albums, and he be sounding crisp and sharp as ever.
Man, shout out to OG 40, man. For real.
And he's doing it at a level that I don't think anybody, aside from a few that you mentioned, is doing on that level right now, because it's like, man, he's aging like fine wine.
Definitely, man. Most definitely.
But going back to what we was talking about in terms of legacy, like, legacy is the most important thing of this culture, because think about how Ice Cube, he did a live yesterday, talk about America's Most Wanted and previewing the songs from that time. At the end of the day, it's about leaving a legacy. Like, for you to revisit your catalog 30 years later is something powerful.
Major. That's a real legacy right there. That's what I want, man. That's what's important to me.
But the way we see the game, a lot of these dudes, they don't even last, what, 5 months? And they try to do an Instagram live thing. You like, dang, this nigga was hot, like, what? Last year, we don't even know who he is now. We don't even move on to the next thing.
Yep, that's how it happened. That's all that trendy shit. That's for people that have got on because they done had a viral video or they done made a dance that got popular or they got a song that got popular and they ain't do no follow up, ain't put nothing behind it. You know what I mean? And now your shit dead. And then them the people that get all that little money and trick it off and being nothing, you know what I mean, keep it going. Now you say your shit dead. Then when you come out again, they're gonna talk about you because you let your career die. Motherfucker let your career die and now you wanna come back out, that'd be worse. That'd be the worst when you ain't going to hiatus and come back. They do you bad.
Man, you come back after 5 or 6. Because keep in mind, you'll probably do platinum. Then you disappear for a year. And you probably doing, what, 40,000. That's one of the hardest.
Exactly.
That's one of the hardest forms of reality I've ever seen. And I've seen it happen many times.
I believe it, man. I believe it. You know, they get that money and they get big headed, and it can happen so quick. You know what I mean? You get a song that blow, all of a sudden you that motherfucker out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And that shit can overwhelm you if you don't know what to do. You know how to deal with that shit. People get sidetracked. Now you got so much shit going on, you can't even write another song.
which is a good segue to the next question, man. Like, what are your thoughts on these cats using ghostwriters? You think that's pretty much cheating the game as well?
I mean, of course, man. I'm very prideful of my penmanship. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, that's one of the keys to the game, man. Is your pen. You know, like I can't really respect you if you ain't writing your own lyrics, and then. You know, a lot of rappers are so cocky and so self-proclaimed that, you know what I mean, I really don't understand a lot of these motherfuckers, man, because the shit don't be making sense to me. But, you know, I don't fuck all that ghostwriting shit. Like, if you getting somebody else to write your shit, you know, you can't match up with certain motherfuckers like me. I look up to the people that really are about their bars. Like, I pride myself on my bars and leaving you with something and having shit that's memorable, making you want to rewind and shit. And like, what that nigga just say? Like, that shit.
Yeah.
What made me want to be a writer.
And that's a hard, and especially with credible MCs. Now, if it's somebody that's not really in there for the long haul to really be on a list, then I'm like, yo, do what you do because, you know, if your bars are bad, you need a writer, nigga, go ahead and get it. But if you one of those guys that, you know, that's proclaimed self top 5 or top 10 and you got a writer, that's like finding out Santa Claus isn't real. That's
heartbreaking. Yeah, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of these dudes be talking shit and be hella cocky and they don't be checking out. They don't check out, man.
That's the sad part of it, man. But what's interesting about your story is you come from two places where musical legacies are rich. Gary, Indiana and Minnesota, home of Prince and home of Michael Jackson.
Ain't it, man?
Two of the GOATs.
Yes, sir. I go visit Michael Jackson house every time I go to Gary. Talk to him.
Now, in your opinion here, and this is for debate purposes, Mike versus Prince. This was the debate that we had growing up. This was before Jay-Z and Nas. This was before Tupac and Biggie. This was before Ice Cube and N.W.A. But the real beef was, not beef, but, you know, battle was Prince versus Michael. who you thought was the better musician?
Well, you know I got to go with Mike. I got to go with Mike. Mike the GOAT.
Hey,
Mike is the GOAT. Now, I fuck with Prince, too, now. Prince
yeah.
is up there, but I can't edge him past Mike.
And people gotta tell it, man, because, you know, to live and see Mike in his prime and growing up watching him from being a child star to becoming a mega star, that's one transition that you probably never going to see in his lifetime.
Yeah. I'm telling you, he's never going to see that again. His house is actually 2300 Jackson Street, is about 8 blocks away from my grandma's house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard stories about Mike, too, man. I heard he used to come back out there. I heard one crazy story that Freddie Gibbs told, that Michael Jackson came back out to Gary. He started throwing chicken wings at the crowd. I heard a lot of stories like that.
Nah, I ain't heard that one.
Yeah, man, because he did like a video a while back about Michael Jackson. He went back to his neighborhood, and he ordered all these fried chickens from KFC, and everybody and Gary was out there to see him, and he threw the chicken from the limo. I'm like, yo, Mike is hood.
I'm about to check in with that. Nah, I ain't heard that one, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you that clip after we get off the interview, man. You're gonna laugh like crazy, man. Cause I think some people could tell you about it that was there at that time, but yo, you gonna laugh, man. That's one of the funniest stories I ever heard in this business.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out. I'm gonna do some research with my people too. I know somebody. Give me some details.
Got to go in with the cousins or the family members. Somebody had to be out there.
Absolutely, man. My family, man, they ain't going nowhere. Been in Gary their whole life, don't want to leave. They ain't tripping.
Man, I'll tell you, man, it's like there's so many, it's so much of a rich legacy out there. And the way they did it was very remarkable. It's something that you would never see before, because they wanted to be greater than great. And
definitely.
I think if you know, you see a lot of artists, they would have took that initiative to come from the grit and really polish their craft. You could see a lot of timeless music coming there. But we in that clout chasing era right now, where everybody trying to do everything for clout. But eventually that's going to burn out, and the real music is going to come back into the forefront.
Absolutely. Because some people get exposed so often, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to, you know, get on these phones and social medias and all that and portray certain images and all of that, but what happened in the dark always going to come to the light, man. You know what I mean? And the truth going to prevail every time. So it's like, you know, that shit might work for a little bit, but you ain't going to last.
Exactly, man, because it's like longevity money comes through for a lifetime. Like,
man,
you want to one day open up those checks where you could just license your music for motion pictures and you could still see royalties.
Exactly.
Or that video game money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, 9 cents of the game is position, man. That's why I just keep trying to, like I said, just keep building sturdy bridges and get around the right people, you know what I mean? And, you know, I went from doing local shows to, you know what I mean, being around people like J. Prince Jr. and, you know what I mean, Boosie and, you know, just heavy hitters in the game to where, you know, you're gonna watch how they move and you're going to soak up game, you know what I mean? And that's why I be around the real motherfuckers. I'm not trying to get around these little trendy motherfuckers or trying to do nothing for no quick buck or what I think going to be an easy look or trying to take a shortcut. Like, I'm okay with the long grind, and you know what I mean? Because I'm in it for the long haul. It's a marathon.
And, you know, one more question before we wrap this thing up, man. Are you a sports head?
Absolutely.
NBA, NFL, UFC, boxing?
Man, I'm a LeBron fanatic. Football, I really ain't. I kind of fell back on the football because, you know, I'm from Indiana, and when Peyton Manning, I followed Peyton to Denver, and when he retired, I kind of just fell back. Like, I got people I fuck with. I like Lamar Jackson, like a couple people, but, you know, I ain't got no favorite team right now, but, yeah, I'm a Laker head, LeBron fanatic. I'm going wherever he go. I don't give a fuck.
Now, you know, with the boxing thing, too, because, you know, we huge boxing fans here as well. Though, what do you think of that clip with Tyson? You think Tyson can make one more run?
Man, I think Tyson will knock somebody's head off. That shit scared me watching that shit. Shit. You'll be
close
a fool to underestimate Mike. Now,
you seen that
up
close and personal? All right, the same.
Yes. Yes. If you, man, just, I'm telling you, you can probably feel them. You can feel the velocity from them swings, man, if you're just standing in the room.
Man, because I seen the training method that he was doing. That's one of the scariest things ever. I felt bad for the trainer.
Yeah, man, that he looked like he was taking a beating with the pad.
And he at 53, 54 years old, and his speed hasn't lost, plus old man strength. That's scary.
I'm telling you, that's scary, bro. That's scary. He gonna really hurt somebody. He gonna really hurt somebody. I would love to see that, though. He's gonna make a lot of money because I know it's gonna be a lot of people that's gonna pay whatever they want to see that.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he came back because he wanted it. He felt that warrior spirit was leaving because, you know, sometimes when a fighter, they feel very compromised and confided. They like, man, look, I got to let these niggas know. I'm
yeah.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. But then, you know, he had people like, what's the dude's name, who said that he could whoop Tyson. The dude that just got beat up. I forgot his damn name. Tyson Fury just.
What's his name? Wilder.
Deontay Wilder, yeah. He had said something about he could take Mike in his prime and all of that shit. You know, that kind of drove him, too. You know when the news don't be paying homage to the ones that paved the way, that shit pisses them off.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing about the OGs is that you rattle that cage, they coming after you.
Oh, definitely. It happens so often.
It's like even now when I'm looking at the Last Dance special with the Bulls. And one of them dudes got in Jordan. Jordan like, all right, I'm going to get you the next six games.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That shit ain't no joke. Them boys do not be playing. And now you know that shit ruffled so many feathers, man. Got Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Rodman, everybody. So many people, man, that shit so ruffled so many feathers.
Man, and it just goes to show you how serious that competitive landscape was back at that time, man, because everybody had that kill or be killed mentality.
Definitely.
And I feel though, man, even though I'm a Lake Show fan too, man, I think they trying to shut us down from getting that chip this year.
That's all it was, man. Terrible. Terrible. We had all the momentum too.
And they knew it too, man. So I'm like, all right, what are they gonna do? They gonna cancel the season? I'm like, oh really? It's like that?
Man, that's crazy.
But that's very wild, man. Like I ain't never seen that in my life.
Shit out by now, man.
Because it's only so much replays that we can get by with, bro. I mean.
Yeah,
I love the classics. I love revisiting them, but we need some new content, bro.
Yeah, man. We need to keep it going, man. For real.
They might have to do street ball or hit the blacktop or something.
Because this shit ain't working, man.
I'm telling you, it's only so much Stephen A. I can watch, man.
They could have even did the shit with no crowd. Shit.
It's something. You see how the UFC and the WWE doing it.
Yeah, man. No crowd, man. Just let them televise it.
But, Ed, I think they're going to do something with the NBA, though, because the NBA, they're going to risk losing like close to $1 billion if this playoff don't pop off. They already losing money every day as it is.
Yeah, definitely. Continuing to lose money.
Shoot, they going to, but yeah, man, hopefully they can get it together. But we about to wrap this thing up, man. I appreciate you chopping it up with us for this hour, man. Big shout to Fleetwood for making this happen. You definitely welcome on the show whenever you need to come on through just to chop it up. We might have a sports segue or something. You can just come on there.
Man, let me know, man. You know, I appreciate you for having me. And anytime you need me, man, I'll definitely call in and fuck with y'all, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm going to send you that clip after the show, man, because I'm going to give you something to laugh at, bro.
Definitely. If Michael Jackson was throwing chicken at people, I definitely need to see that, bro. I'm finna call my people when we get off the phone and verify this story because I ain't heard it. I promise you I haven't.
Yeah, you have any social media you want to plug right quick?
Absolutely, man. GI_Jizzle. That's GI_GIZZLE on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything, man. My clothing line, Dirt Bag. Getting real big, man. You go on that barcode video, you're going to see Boosie rocking it. Go on my IG, you're going to see J. Prince Jr. rocking it. You're going to see a lot of people that really starting to feel it, and it's spreading like wildfire, man. So you can go online and order that at dirtbags.shop, you know what I mean, and just follow me on the social media. Stay tuned, man, because I'm just flooding the internet with content right now for this quarantine.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm going to see y'all on Friday night back to the regularly scheduled time, regularly scheduled channel. We're going to have this interview up within this following week. So, holla at your boy. Off the Cuff Radio signing out. Big shout to my man, G.I. Gizzy. Let's get it.